Meister. We're talking real money.
Hi. Hello, everyone. Don McDonald over here. Tom Koch over there. Everything's working. I'm really happy. So glad. Just technology. We love it when it works, don't we? We do love it when it works. It's pretty amazing. I was thinking about it today. I went to get, because I'm going on vacation right after the show. Literally right after the show. We're getting in the car and going.
Yeah, I can hear the car out there running right
running,
now.
Right. Waiting well, for you can't hear the car running because it's a hybrid. So it goes.
Oh, okay.
Mine's a Honda hybrid. And so when it idles on the electric, it does it this. It goes,
I know. It's weird.
It's like a choir.
I've been sitting in the right seat. I know.
It's
beautiful.
It's so weird. Anyway, yeah. I went to the gas station, and I love the ExxonMobil app because I hate putting my credit card in pumps because it's always getting stolen. You know, they have the skimmers. And the ExxonMobil app allows you to just pick the pump you're on and directly pay for it.
ExxonMobil, the prices are a little high there, dude.
Well, it was the same as the racetrack across the street. So
it's not the same as Costco, which is right down the road.
I could spend more money driving to Costco on gasoline.
You don't have a Costco near you?
No,
why would you move to a place that didn't have a Costco?
20 minutes away.
Oh my, that's an outrage. You need to demand from your city council people.
You live
fix
in Costco land. You live in Costco land.
Costco land is every, they're like
No. Are you kidding? So. When I was in Abingdon, I think that's one of the things that was the break point for Debbie. The breaking point was the nearest Costco was in Charlotte, 2.5 hours away. Oh.
Yeah, what do you do for toilet paper? I mean, like, I got no TP. Well, because Costco's 2.5 hours away. You're messed up.
You buy it in smaller quantities at the grocery store?
Or excuse
Target?
Me?
Walmart?
What?
I don't know.
That's crazy. Anyway. Insanity.
Welcome to the show. Don here, Tom there. 855-935-8255 is the way you get here.
Yeah, call now. Get in here now, right now. Get going for the hour.
Okay.
Click. Okay.
Whatever he said. Listen to him. Call us.
Finally.
855-935-TALK. I read this great piece. It was a study that was recently done by it was a bunch of big universities. I love university studies because they put a lot of work into them. This study was done by a professor at Stanford Law, a research fellow at NYU School of Law, and a professor at NYU School of Law, another one, and a former commissioner of the Securities and Exchange Commission. They looked at 1.2 million financial advisors in the United States. FINRA, that's the ones who are stockbrokers and advisors. The SEC, which are the true, supposedly, the fiduciary side of the advisor business. The National Futures Association, yeah, right. And the state insurance regulator database advisors. Give me a break.
So when you say looked at, did they like look at my pictures?
No, they studied them. They studied what they were. They were looking for their job history from 2010 to 2020.
Their job history, like where they worked.
And they found that about 34%, or no, I'm sorry, that 400,000 left the FINRA broker check system. These were the stockbrokers,
They're out of the business.
No, they exited FINRA's broker check system.
They went one
of several places. 34% moved to another regulator, like just the SEC. They became fee only advisors.
Yeah. Okay.
That was the most common path. However, 50,000 of that 400,000. Left the brokerage industry where they, by the way, could probably sell insurance and just went into the insurance industry. Why did they just go into the insurance industry? Well, maybe it's because the insurance industry regulates really badly because they found that while only 4.6% of FINRA brokers have serious misconduct histories, about 5% serious misconduct.
One out of 20.
Of those who left FINRA and went into insurance, it was over 16% who had serious violations.
Almost one out of five. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that compares to 5.8 who left FINRA and went to SEC oversight, who became fee-only advisors. So what this tells you several things. One,
can we pick where that we send them next, by the way?
Yeah, I wish. It tells you several things. It tells you that there are an awful lot, because most brokers don't even get caught doing the bad stuff because it's not bad enough to get caught. It's just sort of bad. And then to be in the serious misconduct category, 5% in that category probably means 10% because a lot are getting away with it.
That's probably true, by the way. Yeah.
And yet those who go into insurance are much worse, much worse. And this is why we say over and over again, do not buy investment products from anyone who is an insurance agent, period. Don't do it. Don't ever do it. They may be telling the truth about something, but more times than not, they're probably not.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guide to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
One of the biggest reasons we suggest that you avoid these annuity salespeople, which is what they are, because if you're just an insurance agent, the only kind of product you can sell is an annuity. Even variable annuities require a FINRA license. So you can sell fixed annuities or equity indexed or fixed indexed annuities, which, by the way, the SEC actually wanted to regulate as securities, and the industry fought it tooth and nail because they want to have the ability to twist the truth, to...
It's not even twist. It's generally what I see is they leave things out. They don't. They tell you this, by the way, in the honeymoon, that this is going to be great, right? I make a lot of money. I live in a nice place, blah, blah. What they don't tell you is I'm into alcohol, whatever. I mean,
that's not it. Yeah.
Maybe alcohol is a bad one. But, I mean, in other words, they're not clear. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, right, where we got actually somebody out of an annuity because the person that sold it to her was not transparent at all about the product. So the company that the underwriting company said, we'll give you your money back.
Well, and there's a guy in the Seattle area who's advertising a 35% bonus, like you're going to get a 35% return. But
yeah,
this is not... It's so misleading because that 35%, and it's in the Allianz 222 fixed indexed annuity, which fixed indexed annuities. That bonus is only to what is called your protected income value, or PIV.
Which explain what that means.
It does not increase your account value. It's only the amount that you might get at the end.
To draw on
later when you're taking annuities. Income and under a lifetime annuity. In fact, here's a direct quote from a firm who was looking at this. It says the PIV boost can't be withdrawn in a lump sum. It is only there to calculate your income payments when you decide to take your lifetime income.
And when you go to the website and look at it, it's so misleading. It sounds like you're just getting walking in the door. I get 35%. That is not true.
And here's the problem. Ugh. The insurance and the insurance industry in America should be totally ashamed of itself. But the insurance, nobody should be more ashamed of themselves than the insurance commissioners and insurance commissions around this country, because they let insurance brokers, insurance salespeople get away with almost lying. I mean, so close to lying.
Well, I'll say half-truths and be kind.
Yeah, so. Be kind. I said not blatant lying, but lying by omission, which I think we should count as lying, don't you? Or they kind of have the Alex Jones definition of lying.
Oh, please, well, don't even not
a,
bring
it's
him
It's not
up.
A lie if
awful.
I believe it to be true. Please. I love the way the judgment. It's not a lie.
You just took the show from a 9 out of 10 to about a 3 when you bring that name
I'm just the stuff they tell you. You just, if they are only an insurance agent, you need to run like crazy.
Yeah, okay, before we go to the calls. The bottom line is, why are you there in the first place?
Because there's somebody you met at church.
You're getting investment advice from somebody who's in the insurance business. Get insurance from them if you have to have insurance, but don't get help on financial planning or investing. That's not what they do.
They claim it's what they do.
Yeah, well, it's not.
As a matter of fact, we looked at this one advisor who was claiming these 35% returns, and he claims he can claim he's a fiduciary advisor because he is a tiny fraction of the time. But you see, we do things like we look a little deeper. We pulled up his ADV part two. And his firm only manages about $11 million.
Which is not very much money, just for those of you who don't know. No, it might sound like a lot, but small.
It's not much at all. As a matter of fact, it's not enough to pay the rent on the office.
No. Not that he's Bellevue, in Washington.
It's not enough
way.
To pay the rent on his office. There's no way he can make enough money off that $10 million. So you know he's selling something else to make money. Mm-hmm. And turns out what he's selling is the Allianz 222. Indexed annuity.
And making a humongous amount of money on those.
The commissions on those things run about 8%.
Oh, but he doesn't get it. Remember, the company gets it. Yeah.
No, the company pays it.
I don't get that one.
A client don't pay it. The company pays it.
Yeah, all right.
855-935-TALK is our number. Patrick, it is your turn. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you today?
Good, Patrick. How are you?
Good. Well, unfortunately or unfortunately, it sounds like my question kind of lines up with something you've been discussing. Years ago, I was very young, 25, purchased a universal life policy. I don't know if I can mention the name of the company or not.
It's sure. We have this thing called the First Amendment. Go ahead.
Farmers. And
okay,
when
I
purchased it, it had... Yeah, it had various features to it that they no longer have. At the time, it was paying in some of these funds 12%. Of course, this was the mid-80s when everything was paying.
Everything was paying 12%.
Yes. Fast forward to where we're at today. It has a fund within it that is called a deposit fund. And if you put an extra, let's say, $25 a month into this fund over the course of time, it'll accrue a certain amount of money. And it's the way I understand it, it's more like a savings fund. It has a guaranteed rate of 4.5%. And it is currently paying me 4.5%. I've recently come into an inheritance. And in this particular market that we're in right now, I really don't know where to put some of this money. Was wondering, is that a good place to park it and earn, let's say, $4,500 for every $100,000 I put in?
The expression park it. Well, generally, park it has a temporary suggestion to it.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm going to put the money in until blank happens. No one knows what blank is going to happen. And is this money the inheritance that you're going to need in the next, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, some period of time?
Well, no. Fortunately, I have invested in index funds and have done this for several years. I've been fortunate enough to have a good job that paid me a significant amount of money. I'm probably into $4.5 million, and I'm getting ready to retire, and I really don't need to put it into stocks. And I didn't really want to put it in a stock market that's going down.
Yeah.
And was thinking that, okay.
Oh, now,
well,
wait a minute.
Hold on. We need to talk. We need to chat a little bit about a couple of things. One, universal life is very misleading in the fact that they promise a lot. And, well, I want to talk about some of the downside, and then we'll talk about stocks.
Don and Don are talking real money.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestory advisors help you save your future at Vestory.com, Vestory.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
855-935-8255. That's the number to get your questions answered about money things. financial things, including insurance things, like this thing, which we're talking about with Patrick, who had an old universal life policy with Farmers Insurance, which is a good, reputable company, particularly great for property and casualty. They're fine for property and casualty.
And they're not the best for life. But
we just it's not even that. It's just we don't like these products because the insurance industry is selling investment products. And I want to talk first about that 4.5 guaranteed. Who guarantees it? Patrick?
Well, and that's one of the issues. When the stock market went down in 2007, they can up my rates every 5 years. And mind you, I'm paying a small amount of $150 mm-hmm. for a $75,000 policy. That was a lot of money back then. So it's not a lot of money, but they upped it and then told me that they were upping because they had to cover the costs. So in essence, when you really look, boil it down, I'm the one who's guaranteeing it. But on the side of the coin, if I were to put more money in there, that would make more money come out of their pocket. They're not going to raise my insurance rates that high.
No. But what I'm saying is, let's say the economy is in shambles at some point in the future, and the stock market falls and doesn't recover, which is not likely to happen. But we'll just argue that. Who guarantees that you get your money back from the insurance company?
Farmers Insurance would be the guarantee on that.
That's the problem. There have been very big, very well-funded insurance companies that have gone broke, and they fall back on the state insurance pools. And there have been cases. Executive Life is one of the most famous, where it took 20 years for them to get their money back. Then there's the issue of, if you put money into this policy and you want to get it out this year, next year, the year after, you're going to pay them a surrender charge.
And that was what I was trying to get to that. In other words, I'm not understanding why you want to put more money into a policy like this when
you already said.
But you already said this isn't money I'm going to use in my life, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, we do and that brings me to the point number two around the market. The stock market, the global market, is down a little over 10% year to date. I do not consider that cataclysmic. I consider that very normal. This is what is expected. Number two, if you're going to be a stock market investor, and it sounds like you have, you know that as well. And number three, if this is not money you're going to use, I'd rather see you put it all in, a globally diversified exchange-traded fund that costs almost nothing and gets 8 or 10% a year, way more than the 4.5.
Has the potential to get 8%.
Correct. Thank you. It's no guarantee, of course. So I get that.
But the thing is an insurance company's guarantee is not a full faith and credit of the United States government guarantee, which is the difference between the 2.5 you can probably get on government or CD paper.
Almost three. Okay. 30-year. Yeah. Okay.
The difference is the guarantee and the fact that Farmers and all the other insurance companies, not to pick on them, they all have to go out now and invest that money to get a rate far higher than 4.5%. So what do they have to do to make a profit on your money if they're paying you 4.5? They have to take a lot of risk. They can't make magic money.
Sure.
So this
I understand all that. I guess my question would be, what should I look at with them? I mean, their credit rating, their Standard & Poor's just went from
it's very
C++
high
plus to A minus.
Yeah, so was Enron's. Not saying there's any
or
comparison.
AIG, by the way.
Oh yeah, AIG. AIG was the biggest insurance company.
Yes.
Writing these kind of policies, and in 2008, if they weren't bailed out by the U.S. government, you would have seen massive losses in annuity and life products.
Again, but even before we even get to that, I mean, as we head into the break here, my suggestion would be to consider why you even want to throw more money at that. If, again, this is long-term money you're not going to use, and you're a market investor, I just put in a long-term market investment.
Well, actually, I would build a portfolio that was appropriate for your risk tolerance. It sounds like you have low risk tolerance, so very little stock.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to our little get-together called Talking Real Money, the radio show on Saturdays from noon to 2 in Seattle on Northwest News Radio, and then it becomes a podcast the next week. And you can call us at 855-935-TALK, 855-935-8255, and Margaret is next. Hi, Margaret. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I have a question, and it's continuing on the theme that we've been talking about here about insurance products. My insurance agent has recommended to me that I convert a Fidelity 401k to a variable annuity. And I can't figure out why that would be. I was wondering, I can't figure out why that would benefit me in any regard.
It wouldn't benefit you in any way, shape, manner, or form, but it will benefit your insurance agent in many ways.
Okay.
One of the worst products you can put into a qualified retirement account is any kind of an annuity.
And let's explain why. Explain why. Part one is you have tax deferral already in your Fidelity 401k. You're paying for tax deferral in the variable annuity product. There's absolutely no reason to do that. That's one.
I'll give you an example. You could, if you wanted to, convert your Fidelity 401k, maybe you didn't have enough choices, to a Fidelity IRA and get into an array of mutual funds that would have expense ratios, total costs to you, of right around 0.1%.
Yeah, it's about right.
Get great diversification using ETFs. Your variable annuity will typically have expenses associated with them, the fund expenses, the mortality expenses, the policy expenses, that average around 3% per year.
There's such a difference there that I can't even do the percentage.
It's thousands of percent higher.
0.10 to 3. That's,
yeah.
Somebody smarter than me will have to do that, but that's one. I mean, part two is, again, do you need an annuity? Is always my other question.
No, you don't need an annuity. No, why would you need an annuity?
No, but I'm saying, let's just assume that do you need a fixed income source of some kind?
No, she said it was a variable.
Oh, it was a variable. Okay, that's right. So it's not even a fixed. Okay, so yeah.
No.
It's
great for the agent, bad for the you. The agent will take home a commission somewhere in the 5 to 7% range, and you will pay for it. That's pretty much how it works. So, Margaret? Just say no, even if this is a friend.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Thanks for calling before. She called before.
That's smart. Usually get them after. I mean, we don't get a lot of those anymore. Seems more people are rolled into the,
indexed.
Fixed indexed annuities. And that's the sexier product today. Where variable annuity, that was 20 years ago. That's old school.
That's so 20 years ago. Oh, Margaret, I'm so glad you called. I really am. Yeah. I really am. And the problem is, here's why insurance agents pitch those. Because if they're just insurance licensed, if they're not a broker, if they're not SEC licensed, they're really limited on what they can sell. They don't have a lot of options. Now, some of them are licensed to sell mutual funds, and this person may very well be, but when you sell somebody mutual funds, and you have to kind of give them the break points you're supposed to, and so your commission could go down on those annuities. Commissions don't have to be disclosed, and that's their favorite part of all. They love not disclosing commissions. Why?
The only way to find out is to go to the declaration page and see what the commission is. I mean, see what the surrender charge
right,
is.
Right. They never know. Nowhere do insurance policies have to disclose the commission. You have to figure it out for yourself. And you'll never know exactly unless they tell you the truth, which they never do. I cannot remember ever in, 35 years. Can't remember.
How many years?
Cannot remember any person ever calling me. And I used to do call-in shows 6 days a week. I cannot remember. I used to do them like 4 hours, 5 hours a day. 6 days a week.
Crazy. Yeah.
I cannot remember a person ever calling me and saying, you know, I asked my insurance agent how much they make on this variable annuity or whatever it was, and they told me the exact truth. Never happened. Not that I'm aware of. Has it ever happened to any of you? Give us a call, 855-935-8255.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Great calls today. We love your calls at 855-935-TALK. I'm Don McDonald, Tom Cox over there in the Museum of Modern Military Aircraft. And if you want to know more about the Museum of Modern Military Aircraft, check us out.
Did you put up a website?
On YouTube. I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Check us out on YouTube because we do occasionally have a wonderful tour there. Of the Museum of Modern God Military sakes. Aircraft.
I know you want to do that. You are just pining to do that to see if I know every plane in here, which I do, by the way.
No, all I know you do. It's not that I want to throw you. It's just that I think that people, when they watch the videos, they go, why are there airplanes hanging over
You know,
Tom's
the plane
head?
I do not have in here that I saw yesterday, by the way, was the FA-18.
Whew.
That's a plane, dude. I was at the Museum of Flight and all six of the Angels took off at the same time. Wow, there's a... That's more noise than Don McDonald on Saturdays. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're doing the show by yourself next week. And then
That's it. It's finally decided.
I'm done with you. I'm done.
The noise was... All right.
But I bet this other guy will be on my side because he's got a great name. Don, welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Don.
Hey.
Welcome back, Don.
Thank you.
Welcome back.
Going away again.
Anyway, I called about this a while back, a couple of months ago. Same issue. It's your favorite pet peeve, Don. It's dealing with annuities. And the question I really had, are there just about all annuities you would discourage people from ever purchasing? And the reason I ask is my scenario is... As I called before, I was offered from a Fidelity fiduciary here in the Seattle area to cash out my pension, take the lump sum instead of the monthly annuity that I get at Boeing where I work, take the lump sum instead of the monthly annuity, and convert that to an annuity that he was offering. Now, he wasn't trying to push it on me, so I asked him what kind of an annuity it was. He said it was an insurance annuity.
They all are.
I asked him.
It's still a contract with an insurance company, but what kind of annuity?
Yeah, what kind?
Well, that's all he said.
Methinks I smell a non-100% fiduciary.
He can't be a fiduciary and sell you an annuity.
He can. He can put you in a no-load annuity, but he cannot sell you an annuity and be a 100% fiduciary. No way, because there's...
Fair enough.
What does this annuity... What was it going to do for you, Don? What was the benefit?
It was going to pay about $500 more than my monthly annuity from a Boeing pension that I would be getting.
So maybe it was an immediate annuity?
About it. It was USAA. He just said it was an insurance annuity. I said, well, what kind of kickback would you get from this?
What kind of a kickback?
Kickback, I love it.
He said what? What was his answer?
He said he didn't know.
$700 or $800, and in all fairness to him, though, he wasn't, you know, trying to shove it on me. You know, he just
that might have been his sales technique. Yeah.
Well, that's true. I guess the question I have is, if it's a fixed annuity or an indexed annuity, you're pretty much against all annuities.
No, there's one. You qualified it properly, and we are opposed to most annuities, but there are very specific exceptions to that rule.
I would say the one that we could be supportive of is an immediate annuity where you put the money in and then you immediately start getting income from that at a very low interest rate, by the way. Today, I'd have to go look at the products, but I bet it's 3% or something like that. So you're getting some of your money.
Well, USAA's fixed annuity rate.
Yeah,
fixed. Right now, that's what they're paying. How old are you, Don?
66.
Are you taking the pension from Boeing already?
No, I haven't retired yet.
You haven't retired yet. Okay.
So what
you would probably have initially would be a fixed annuity that you would then annuitize when it becomes an immediate annuity. So right now, according to USAA itself, their annuity is paying 3.8%.
Okay.
That would be the only product that we could see our way to being supportive of you using. After that, they're not good products. They are hard to get your money. All
now,
the reasons
on.
We talk about in the program.
Don, how much money would you be transferring over to this guy? Because I can run the numbers right here really fast.
I think it would be $739,000.
And let's see here. And let's say we go. Is it just? Yeah. Let me just do lifetime.
Single life.
And when would you start collecting it?
Say beginning of next year.
Cool. Perfect.
And single life, or are you going to have somebody else that benefits from this if anything happens to you?
No, it's single life.
Perfect. This makes it easy.
No.
And you're male, and you're in Washington, and let's see what comes up. Okay, that is really wrong. That number is totally wrong. Hold on, I gotta do it again. But the reality is, it would shock me that you would make more than Boeing, but you might. You might. They might promise you a better payout.
Well, no, wait
initially.
A minute. More than
Boeing's
if you leave it in there.
If he left it in and took the pension.
If he gets the payout,
yeah.
Well, he's not going to get an increase there. That number is set for the next 30 years.
Yeah. But what the agent is saying is that he – here, I hit the wrong number. That's my problem. Is that he can get more money going from this annuity.
What do you mean by more money?
More money a month.
You know, over time, I would expect that would be true. But there's risk to that, right? Especially single life. If something happens to Don soon, then that will not turn out well. Number two, it's not going to grow much.
It's not going to grow at all.
The annuity, the payout from Boeing isn't going to grow at all. So there's trade-offs. Again, it wouldn't be the way I would go unless I just said, that's the amount of money I can live on the rest of my life, and it'll work out that way.
Yeah, the monthly payout from 739 would be about $4,400 a month from the USAA annuity. That's about what it would be. So if that's a better deal, it might be a better deal for you. Thanks for the call.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at Vestory.com, VESTORY.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
And if you need a little more advice. For example, in Don's case, if you just wanted somebody to look over the advice you've been given by somebody else and you want a fiduciary's opinion on it, well, we'll do that at our firm. And the one thing you won't get is a high-pressure sales pitch. Well, one thing, two things. You won't get charged anything either. Of course, if you want to hire us to manage your money for a long time, yeah, we're going to charge you for that because that's how we make a living. But we help anybody who asks for free. All you have to do is go to vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, no one can accurately and consistently predict the future, so past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Capital, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. Are we done now?